Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, audience. Today is Thursday, November 1st, and my name is Sandra Bueno, and I am coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio, Power to Be You. That is P-O-W-E-R, the number 2, B-E, and the letter U. And today's show is an hour long, and it is about accountability, responsibility, and empowerment via education. And today I will be presenting to you a very special guest, and together we will be able to outline specific distinctions, specific testimonies, specific information that it is our hope that you will be able to find some form of awareness and some form of information that's going to empower you, that's going to make you or lead you to think of alternatives or of reasons or of issues that are pertinent in your life, and if not directly in your own life, in the lives of those who surround you and in your environment. So what I'd like to do is bring you a little bit of background information on our guest today. To give you a brief, she worked out in New York City and out in New York as a court reporter with Judge Judy, and she was involved with the family court system for approximately 15 years. Throughout that period of time, she was involved in the court system, being aware, made aware of all of the different situations with the people that were coming to face the judges. And as a court reporter, she was able to really look at people and look at their issues and look at their situations and basically realize that so much was happening. And throughout, in me speaking with her, throughout her time, she realized that the people and the victims and the situations we're getting, where we're going down to a younger and younger population, and a lot of this dealt with self-esteem and a lot of trauma, and particularly in women's lives. So with this said, I want to introduce you to Goddess. Goddess is an author, she is a coach, and she is a speaker. And she has also written a book. We will get into the book a little later on during the show. But I'd like to bring her on and allow you to listen to her, listen to what's going on in her life and what her passion is. And before I also present her, know that this number, the show is an interactive show, so for the last half hour, we will open it up to callers. The number is 646-716-8620 if you would like to ask Goddess anything or ask myself as well. And keep in mind also that this is Goddess's experience as well as my own particular experience to come and bring you the Power to Be You platform, whereby we are here to share with you something that can make a difference in your life. So with that said, Goddess, are you online?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Hi, Goddess. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, everyone.
Yes, yes. Well, this is our audience. We have various listeners from different fields and from different states within the United States, and definitely we would like to hear from them as we make our way with the show. So, Goddess, tell the listeners, you know, really what, you know, a little bit of your background and why you feel that it is important to bring this message forward.
Sure. As you had indicated, that I did work in the court system, and when I did work in the court system, and mainly women would come before the court, some battered with their faces bruised with black eyes, and you see that their lives were rough. But when you looked into their faces, you can also see their souls were also torn. And so as time went on, I started to realize that the group started getting younger and younger, and young girls' self-esteem were totally crushed. And I'm talking about maybe like 12, 13, and they're in the system already. So I started to see the whole format start to continue from one generation to the next, and I felt that something had to be done, not knowing what at the time, because being an officer of the court and keeping the court records, that was my function at the time, but I never forgot what I had seen and how it touched me and how I felt that somebody has to do something. So when they say when you point a finger, that three comes back at you.
Mm-hmm.
So all five were coming back at me. So it was me that I felt that had to some way make a difference in women's lives, starting at with young women up to teenagers. And I feel once we have helped them to that point, then we're able to let them spring out and be strong women.
Now, what do you think is the hardest thing right now that women in general and also our younger generation of women are facing?
I think they're facing a lack of self-love, and they don't know how to love themselves in a way that is nurturing to themselves. They look for the outer extremities of the world to validate who they are, when every day when they look in the mirror, that's who they are, and they should validate themselves and know that they are perfect and divine just the way they are, because they're having a wonderful life experience. And once I feel that they are learned or have been taught to love themselves, every situation in their life, call it a problem or a challenge or a difficulty, will begin to dissolve, because self-love is the answer to every single aspect of their life.
See, now you mentioned, it's funny because when I listen, immediately I have a couple of questions that come up, and the immediate question was, well, what would you do to someone that experiences, you know, nothing but pain in their lives, who have had trauma, or who have had, you know, just the references where they really don't have a place in their past to say, well, you know, I do have this strength within me, or my life is beautiful. You know, how do you handle that side?
Well, in my experience in that kind of situation has been to tell them, I'm the first one to say, I think you're beautiful. You have so much to offer. There's so much that you can do. And if we, as adults, tell these children that constantly tell them how great they are and how wonderful they are and what they can do and the great things that you envision for them, that there's nothing that they cannot do. And if it is repeated to them over and over again, they will believe it. The same way that, like, these life circumstances have been coming to them over and over again and repeated to them on the negative, and they have believed that, slowly but surely we can turn that around and give them something positive to believe within themselves.
See, what I definitely hear, and you answered it before as well, you know, I was kind of just putting you on the spot there, but it's you said it. It's about bringing that awareness to them and equipping them with tools.
Absolutely.
You know, showing it to them, because here we see so much, you know, here we see so much negativity surrounding their environment, you know, surrounding their conditions, that it takes a special person, or it takes a specific person, I think, more so than just special, it takes a heart, someone who basically sees it, you know, that it is their mission to make a difference, and that's you know, that's why I see you as being, you know, as being a person. Like I said, my show on Thursdays is to bring a person, a leader, a contributor, you know, a coach, a person who is making a distinction and who will be able to, through their own wealth, through, and I don't mean monetary wealth, I mean the wealth of the spirit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, whatever God has gifted you with to do, you're going to use that as your platform and as your voice to instill something beautiful in another human being, and in this case, obviously, is in our younger culture, and also in the women.
Absolutely.
I mean, you one of the things that you mentioned when we spoke before, prior to this show, is you had talked about bringing that awareness to younger women that they have everything within them, and to step into that feeling, you know, at an early age.
Yes.
Now, you also mentioned that there were certain techniques that you had used. You told me about a story of a girl that was going to wear something specific.
Right.
And that just struck, like, I loved the way that your answer to her and how you led her to thinking. Can you bring that back up?
Sure. I had taken a young lady shopping. And so when I was with her shopping, she pulls this outfit out, and I said, and it was quite a little outfit, and I said, are you going to wear that? And she said, yes. I didn't want to give her a straight, no, you're not wearing that, or you can't put that on and, you know, pick something else. I wanted her to think for herself and make her own decision which I knew she would eventually turning out will make the right decision. And so I said, well, if you're going to wear that outfit, I want you to know that, can you handle the responsibility of that outfit? And she looked at me like, responsibility. I said, what you wear, you have a responsibility. I said, can you handle the responsibility of you being 14 and a very voluptuous 14? Can you handle the responsibility of a man looking at your breasts or calling you out of your name or even attempting to touch you or grab you because of this outfit? If you can handle the responsibility, then fine. Then I walked away. As I was walking away, she turns around. She goes, well, let's look at the other rack. And so I realized that she thought about what I said and made her decision. And there's nothing wrong with wearing clothes. Everything that you put on, which I really want to stress to the young ladies out there, everything you put on has a responsibility. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to look nice, or even the word is today sexy. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's so many sexies. There's conservative yet sexy. There's simple yet sexy. Okay? And find something that really resonates with yourself. You don't have to put your whole body out there. Some of the most powerful women wear turtlenecks all the time, but they are still respected and love themselves and are able to get their point across. So you don't have to put yourself out there in a certain way to get your point across, because you have everything, and you have a divine mind, a divine spirit that is able to reach out and touch everybody else out there. Sometimes you don't even have to say a word. Just your presence alone can change a whole situation.
And that is so key, that what you are expressing right now, mm-hmm. it's an area of our lives where we must draw attention to, especially as women, you know, who we are in this place in time,
right.
What we have given up and what we have represented up to the point where, you know, we're personally, on a personal level, our self-value for many women, mm-hmm. you know, the self-value is there is none. You know, you, for every one woman that you meet,
right.
that's very self-assured and that's, you know, that has a good head on her shoulders and who feels secure with her identity, with her core, with her body, with her essence and her spirit, you know, you will find countless of women who are not. I mean, just recently, about 2 weeks ago, at an event that I was at a church event, they presented a woman who has spent over $100,000 in 33 plastic surgeries for her face alone.
Wow.
You know, and I have doctors, I have friends of mine, colleagues, who will talk about youth and plastic surgery, you know, who will talk about what these, some doctors are like now saying, you know what, I don't even want to, they actually go and they ask clients if they are in long-term relationships or if they've broken up, you know, recently with one, because they will not operate based on the fact that this person is not emotionally stable or mentally stable at the time that they want to undergo these procedures, because it all comes down to self-esteem, you know, what they're looking for something outside of themselves that really they don't yet have within themselves.
Exactly.
You know, and that's something that is so particular, where we as women have to really get to a point where we claim our own identity, mm-hmm. and where we're able to express this to our younger generation, because today's, you know, I mean, I am so fervent about talking to our kids, because they can't talk for themselves. They don't even realize, like what you just said, this girl, a 14-year-old girl, mm-hmm. is going out there not looking at the consequences of a choice that she's going to make,
right.
which is, you know, to her would be like, well, I'm just putting on these clothes and I'm going to look cute, I'm going to look sexy.
Right.
But really, when you look at the wider scope, mm-hmm. what are all the other problems that arise out of this choice that she is about to make?
Exactly. And it's about them really taking a chance to look at consequences. Everything has a consequence, and consequences aren't always negative either.
Mm.
You know, it's like if you open a bank account and you save a dollar a paycheck, at the end of 10 years, you know what a good consequence that was. So consequences aren't always negative, but in knowing that, it's good to always say, well, you know what, if I'm going to step on the left side, you know, what are my choices? What's going to happen? And even with my kids, they'll say, well, you know, I'm going to go do so-and-so. Do you think that's okay? I'm like, well, what's the worst that can happen? And they'll tell me, I'm like, what's the best that can happen? I said, now you know what to expect. You know, go for it. And so they'll think about it, and they'll end up usually making the right choice. And you let them know that there's choices, and with choices comes consequences, and with consequences comes responsibility.
That is so key. I also, even in the movie Dreamgirls, there's a line that the manager says to Jennifer, who I believe he says, you know, these people want the fame, but they don't want the responsibility. You know, they want the glory, but they don't want the responsibility. You know, and that's where we look at our youth and say, okay, they want the flash, they want the car, they want the house, they want the praise.
Right.
But then they don't want to take the steps that it's required to get there. And I will tell you, you know, parents today are, not all the parents, of course, but a lot of the parents that we're all able to see, and I'm sure you know of people like this, you know, or we could just watch TV and look at parents that are trying to make up for their absence by giving gifts or by giving toys or, you know, even go into a neighborhood, children's, those places where they have the birthday parties.
Okay.
You know, the amount of toys that you see these kids, you know, a three-year-old leaving with bags as if it was like a Santa Claus in town.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, what are we telling our kids? Because then our kids are like, look, I want this. And, you know, I have my seven-year-old giving me this list for his birthday, which includes, you know, iPod by like 6.5 years old, even though I'm good because then he's aware of technology. But in the other sense, it's like, excuse me, you know how much an iPod is? And what is that going to do then to your ears? You know, what is that going to do to your attention somewhere else? But a lot of these kids are really growing up demanding and wanting when the parents can't even afford it.
Right. And that's when the parents have to step in. And see, we have a problem with the word no. And no is a wonderful word. I would recommend that everybody use the word no for the rest of the week. Because when you say the word no, then you are free. If someone asks you to do something and you really don't want to do it, we all have the habit of saying, okay, yes. But inside, you have resentment. Why do they always come to me? I always have to be stuck with this stuff. I don't want to do it. Learn the word no. No, I can't do it. You know, I have another engagement. Or no, I'm not doing that. No. And once you say it, the person will probably be shocked for a minute or so. They'll get over it, but you know what? You have so much peace within yourself. And the same thing with, you know, your children, if they ask for something and be upfront, say, you know what, finances are a little, you know, challenging at this point, so I'm not going to get it for you right now, or I can't get it for you, and just plain, no, not now, that's it.
You
have to learn to say no.
And what's good, too, in bringing that awareness, I recently was told, you know, be careful when you say yes, because every time and be careful to what you're saying yes to.
Exactly.
Because when you say yes to something, you are saying no to something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is true, what you said. You know, if you say yes at times, just because you're put on the spot or you feel embarrassed or you feel that you owe someone, you know, or you feel that, oh, if I say, you know, if I'm invited somewhere and I say no, they're going to think that I'm this, that I'm that. Meanwhile, you know you can't meet those expectations. So free yourself and say, you know, based on what you want out of life, free yourself and say, no, I'm not, you know, it's not within my means, it's not within my philosophy, it's not within my spiritual, you know, awareness, it's not within the function of me as a parent.
Right.
You know, and it's true, and it's learning about saying that. Well, tell us about your book.
Yeah.
Tell us about how it came about.
My book came about being in the courthouse, like I said, and seeing the young girls, and I wanted to reach our female aspect before we became women. And I feel that we all have a responsibility to our young people, being male or female, and girls really need their fathers, believe it or not, because that is the first relationship with the opposite sex that they're going to have. So girls really need to have a great relationship with their dads, and I just want to put that out to let fathers know how important that they are in their daughter's life. What my book is about...
Let me ask you, why would you say it's very important to have the fathers in the woman's life, in the daughter's life?
Because I would say that because I've seen where fathers have been absent, and then a cycle like begins because it's like, well, you know, I wonder how my, you know, where my dad is, or you know, if my dad was here, what would he say? What would he do? I can, you know, get a man's point of view, a guy's point of view, and in watching my girls with their dad, my husband would take my daughter out on a date like every 3 months. She gets all dressed up. He gets all dressed up. Have a great time. He pulls out her chair, holds the door open for her, show her how she should be treated. Because if nobody can't treat you better than daddy, then they don't deserve you.
That's setting up a very good standard.
Absolutely.
Because, yeah, a lot of the times what we're seeing, I mean, you and I tapped on into it, that, you know, how are we as women accepting certain things that are derogatory?
Totally. Absolutely. You know, like being called the B word. And then answering to this word, like it's okay, and it's not okay. And I don't care, they've made it a little fancier now, but you have to be able to say, you know what, it's unacceptable, and I'm not going to take it.
And does your daughter look,
call me that.
Now, does your daughter look toward having these dates with her dad?
Oh, sure. Absolutely, and the 11-year-old, well, she's coming up, so she's getting excited.
That's fun.
You know, so they really, you know, have a great communication and the whole nine. And my book, it even helps them to have that kind of relationship, even with the most, say, surprising aspect or the changing aspect in a young girl's life, because when I worked in the courtroom and I felt that I wanted to get to the young ladies before they became women and out into the world. And during my meditations of the day, I had prayed on asking, what is it or that really, really is traumatic in a female's life? And the answer that I got was the period. Now, the period is, even today in the millennium, is a very taboo subject. Nobody really talks about it. And if a young girl happens to get her period, maybe they'll take her out for, like, lunch or something. Or, you know, she'll get a box of, you know, pads or tampons and, you know, you're a woman now, that phrase, and she's on her way. Meanwhile, after that, her body's going through a whole metamorphosis. And she gets most of her information from the outside. And so the book is about celebrating the period. And as I have done my research in making this book, and speaking to women of all ages, say from their teens to elders, and finding out that you, back then you weren't even told anything about it, you'd be jumping rope, and all of a sudden you think you cut yourself, and that's when you find out about this period. Or, you know, you couldn't discuss it at all, and some ladies, even in today's society and around the country, around the world, they have to leave the house. They cannot stay in the same house. They cannot sleep in the same bed. Some women cannot cook the meals, the food. Some women can't even touch the male children in the Yoruba faith, as I understand. So it really, really, you know, opened my eyes that, you know, a lot of that this great subject needs to be shifted. And what the period party does is it celebrates this. It celebrates the period for a young girl coming of age with 20 million questions about her body and what's going on and what's going to go on, and having her sisters and her mom and grandma and aunts and close friends actually answer every question for her in a celebratory atmosphere. And we have, and I have, and the book explains how to set it up, how to get those invitations out, how to have her questions answered, and really give her a sense of self that you are perfect the way you are, because what you're carrying within your body, within your being, is a life force. And without that life force, there would be no life on this planet.
You know what? And it's so, when I first heard you, it, you know, when you started telling me the background without telling me the title, I was like, yes, all of this makes sense. All of this makes sense. And then you gave me the title, and it was like, okay. How does this make sense? And, you know, and afterwards I realized, I said, you know, there's so much to this. There's so much to this, because this is basically kind of like this little window that opens up to a whole new way of living, a whole new existence, a whole new level of being who we are supposed to be in a world that might not necessarily embrace that. And, you know, where I can support, you know, the distinctions that you've made is being actually from another country where, like you said, there's taboos and, you know, and we only, what we are taught by our parents, what we are taught by our moms, you know, our moms are the ones that, to establish that first relationship,
right.
You know, and in this particular case where the coming of age for a young lady or a young girl, you know, in which today's time is becoming even earlier and earlier
yes.
than what we used to have. I mean, I've even heard of cases where the child's 8 years old.
Wow.
You know, you got to understand, and for the audience listening, whether you're a male or female,
mm-hmm.
is to understand that, again, with that coming of age and that change in your body, you are now able to give birth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are now entering a world where your emotions and your level of maturity is expanding at a different level, and sometimes it expands to a level that you are not yet capable of truly dealing.
Exactly.
You know, and doing it from a perspective of responsibility, and you know, a lot of the times you start seeing. I mean, I went to the judicial system a few weeks back, and I met a little girl who was 13, pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she was happy. And I asked her, I said, why are you happy that you're having this baby? And she said, because now I'll have my own baby. And this is a baby talking about a baby. This is a girl who wants to feel so much connection and love mm-hmm. that she feels, you know, by having a baby, she's going to be able to get that. And while that might be true, the other side is also true, that with that comes a lot of responsibility, and responsibility that she doesn't even know yet what it's going to entail. You know, and we see this whole thing going around in a circle where you try to realize, you know, why is it that someone at 28 years old has 5 kids, and why are they so distraught, and why are they in drugs, and why are they in the system, and why are they on welfare?
Right.
You know, and that's where I looked at what you have and said, you know what, it's so true, because a child must, you know, realize that this is a moment in their life that's very special,
mm-hmm.
and it requires the sustainability from other people to celebrate that.
Absolutely, and that's where we, as the wise ones or the elders, would step in and take charge. To the point that the old African adverb says, take the whole village to raise a child.
Hmm.
Well, it takes the whole country to raise a child.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody has a part to play. Everybody has a role to play, and we need to be responsible. Know that we're responsible for every single child that comes in our path.
Hmm. Mm.
We are. We are all responsible for these children. We just can't turn around and shake our heads, no, oh, well, you know. No, we are all responsible. If you see a child or a young adult that needs some talking to, talk to them. Absolutely talk to them. The other day I saw two boys getting ready to have a fight, and I stepped in. I was doing my food shopping in Publix, and I yelled out, hey, and the big bully one, he walked away, but the younger kid, the smaller child, he was more upset, and I knew he would have grabbed something. That would have been it. And I told him, I said, I want you to breathe, and I'm going to ask you a question. I said, if you were to get something right now and hit that kid over there, I said, and you would end up in jail, is he worth it? And he looked up at me, and the tears just came rolling down his face, and he shook his head no. I said, go home.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be okay. Just go home. And he left, and he went the other way.
Mm-hmm.
If we, you know, instead of just looking, other people were just standing around looking at them.
Because people are afraid to step in. Again, it's people are so afraid because they don't have the awareness, they don't have the tools, they think it's going to require something, you know, you have to have a PhD to be able to make a difference.
I'm not going to be afraid of our kids. I'm not going to be afraid of our kids. And we have to, you know, everybody should make a stand of not being afraid of our kids. If anything, that's guidance. That's like, help, somebody help. And if you feel moved to do so, do so. Absolutely.
Now, for you, I know that the book is a part. It's obviously it's just something that rests in your heart. It's something that you are gifted with having this awareness where you, based on your past and based on where you are now, you're able to create, you know, and make such a sense of celebrating this, which is such an important place in life. While you were talking about it, all of a sudden I had, you know, and this takes us, I think, to our next level, because, mm-hmm. you know, I think we all have that ultimate destiny of when you turn around and you've left the legacy behind you, you want to say, this is what I want to be known for. Mm-hmm. You know, this is where I want to know that I made a distinction. And when you were telling me about this with when you mentioned the African, was it a tradition where they would take the whole, where they would go out into the town,
mm-hmm.
there is, I know that when it comes to women, you know, when it comes to us claiming our true identity, when it comes to our core, when it comes to us just really saying, you know what, there's so much power within us, and we have such an ability, and we have such a gift to be able to be the nucleus that holds everything together. And, you know, which I think today we are doing such a, you know, not, and I can't speak for all women, but in general, when we look outside, there are so many women that are not claiming that.
Absolutely. There aren't, you know, and I see it just about every day with the, I also do massage therapy, and, you know, just seeing how their self-esteem, you know, this one lady, it's her birthday, and she goes, oh, I don't want anybody to know it's my birthday. You know, it's a big one, and blah, 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 and I'm saying, well, you should be celebrating. It's life, you know. I said, you know what, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know how old you are. I said, but whatever age you are, some women are not going to see that. You need to get grateful for every single day that you have, because some women are not going to see your age. And here you are. You have the gift of life. You have the gift of seeing this age. Celebrate it. Celebrate it. And she looked at me, and she says, you know, you're right. So I go, well, since you haven't told anyone your age, what is it? You know, it was the big 40 for her, you know?
Wow. And I will tell you, what's really unique, because this is what has come out of my own testimony, which is, you know, really being true to your core, and how today, in today's time, and it happened to me, this is why I feel so fervent about it,
uh-huh.
which we realize that we are always looking outside.
Yeah.
For what, in looking in others, particularly in relationships and in men, for what needs to be within ourselves,
exactly.
You know, for what needs to be within our hearts. And you mentioned that in your talks and in your presentations,
mm-hmm.
with children, for example, you gift them a mirror.
Yes.
And I have often said to people, and I've said it on this show, you know, to sit down with a mirror and to look at that mirror and question, you know, and question that image that you see.
Right.
Because that's when you really know, and you can lie and you can say whatever words you want to say.
Right.
But ultimately, your spirit speaks for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when you're lying to yourself. You know, you know, you can lie to everyone else. But you can lie to yourself, and I think it's, and I think you would agree with me.
Oh.
You know, I mean, do you agree with me?
110%, absolutely. And even when there's a problem, you know, a so-called problem, I don't believe in problems, and I don't believe in the victims and all that stuff. But if there's a challenge that you're going through, I always say, go in the mirror. I say, the answer is right there. The answer to your love life is there. The answer to your relationship with others, family and friends and so on, is right there. The answer to your financial questions is right there. Everything, the answer to you, you're looking at it, it's right there. And once we learn how to tap into the loving of yourself, and once we learn to love ourselves, then the answers will come so easily.
Well, how do you learn to love yourself? I mean, I know, but how do you learn to, how do
I've
you?
I've learned, and I've been taught, my mentors, you know, as I've been growing up, have been Iyanla Van Zandt, Susan Taylor, my mom, my aunt, have been my rock, you know, for me. And so when I've been taught, when you wake up in the morning, do you just roll out of bed and, you know, look and brush your teeth and wash your face and shower and go on with your day? Or do you take a minute to stop and acknowledge that wonderful being that's looking at you in the mirror and say, good morning, have a great day, you're doing great, girl. Well, let's get ready to roll. And when you go buy something, are you buying it for your husband to tell you how great you look in it? Are you buying it for the girls so your girlfriends can tell you how good you look in it? No, you shouldn't buy it for those things. If you like something and you buy it and you put it on, look in the mirror and say, girl, you know you work in that dress. And you look fabulous in that suit. Oh, you're really going to make a statement when you go for that job interview. You know, do it for yourself. Acknowledge yourself. Feed yourself first. It's like when you fly on a plane, they tell you, don't put the oxygen mask on the child. Put it on you first, because that child can't help you. So when you have given yourself enough that you are overflowing, for you to give to others is totally not a problem. So when the problem comes to you, you're in a place of centeredness. You're in a place of peace. So when that problem shows up, you can handle it. When that situation comes up, you can be still and say, okay, Spirit, what do I do now? And I will wait for your answer. And you will get it. It may come in a person. It may come in an advertisement in a newspaper. It may even come on the 6 o'clock news. But you have opened yourself. You have fed yourself. You have nourished the God within yourself. So anything that comes your way will be so much easier to handle with self-love. Because when you have self-love, self-value and self-worth automatically travels and follows you.
And you
so
know
that's
what,
how that I've done it.
And that is so much the point of, you know, there comes the moments when you're challenged and there comes the moments when everything that you're about comes is put to the test. And it's at moments like that that you really reveal your true self and who you've trained yourself to be. And
yeah.
And all of this comes about by a constant awareness of who you are. If the elements are within, you know, the integrity of your soul, within the integrity of your own identity. You know, and I'll tell you that. I mean, this is a question that we use with coaching. You know, ask around you. Ask people. Who are you? Simple question. You want to know who's standing next to you?
Right.
Ask that person, who are you?
Okay.
And nine times out of ten, mm-hmm. the person, specifically women, I mean, I have met women that don't want to answer. You know, they run around from the question. They run away. They're like, oh, come on, stop playing. Oh, no, don't ask me. You know, but you know who I am. They'll tell you your name. But then when you prod a little more, then you ask them, and they'll identify themselves with their job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who am I? Well, I'm a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who am I? You know, I'm a receptionist.
Right, right.
Who am I? You know, I'm a flight attendant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait,
that's, you know,
yeah, I mean, do you identify yourself with that job and that's who you are?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that just the job that your body occupies?
Right.
You know, and that reveals so much about people and where they are in their state of being.
Yes, I agree.
It's amazing, you know, and it's really, I mean, that's one of the exercises that we use with really defining values and beliefs and, you know, that people think, well, I can't change. You know, I'll never change. This is who I am. Well, if that's the image that you see of who you are,
right,
then, you know, you have a choice.
Yes. Oh, you do have a choice. And
yeah.
Sometimes we don't want to change, but the universe has different plans. And so it says you're going to change, and then a situation or sight or circumstance will fall in the way, and it will happen. And whether you want it or not, you find yourself, wow, I didn't know I can do that. I didn't know I can really accomplish all that I did already. It brings out the best in you. It really, really does. So we try to limit ourselves, but once we realize that we are unlimited, it's everything and anything that we can do.
Well, I also believe in the power of the network and the power, you know, the power that your peers hold upon you. What do you think about that? About those that surround you? How effective are they in uplifting that self-image? And
well, I pretty much, I don't really depend on anybody to uplift my self-image, but I will always leave myself open to take from others what I see in myself. Because if you see something in someone that you admire or you like or even dislike, then, again, go back in the mirror, because that's a reflection of yourself. You know, it's like if someone is seeing somebody and then they break up in this relationship and then they attract the same person and then they break up in that relationship and they keep attracting the same kind of person, it's a mirror of, I have work to do. You can't change the people on the outside. So you have to work within, okay? And as you start to do that, then those same characteristics of people start to shift away. So I really take a little bit from everybody or see something that, wow, I'm going to use that. Oh, I learned so much from that person. Because even being a massage therapist, I'm with a person for, like, say, an hour. And this time when I connect with these people, that by the time they leave, we're hugging and kissing and sometimes even crying, like, oh, my God, you really touched me. That we've exchanged energy, positive energy, with each other. And there's times when people have been very negative that I decide, you know what, I'm not going to own that, but I will send that person love and move on. So I'm open to receive what everybody has, but I'm not going to let that be a part of my sustenance, because I stand on my own rock. I stand on my own ground, and I have my own morals and beliefs. So I'm not judgmental of others, so I let them be who they be because they're always teaching me.
And that's where, and that's what I call that power of choice, where, you know, we have the choice individually to make that significant shift in, well, this is not really what's aligned with what I believe in or my model of the world or my paradigm. And, you know, one can choose. One can take, you know, maybe we don't take the 100% of what that person is about or that story or that comment, but we can take a part of it that's going to suit us, that's going to help us. And the same thing with peers. You know, I do a show in the morning with Joe Pipitone, which is Wake Up to Empowerment, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. But what we've discussed is the energy stealers. You know, things that steal your light?
You know? Vampires, I call them.
Yeah, I mean, call them, you know, saboteurs and, you know, and things that are always coming in different, like, it's true, I think vampires that's a great word.
Oh, yeah, they'll suck you dry.
Because they do, they come from all angles, they're flying in, they're flying out, they're underneath you, you know, and they're going to attack you.
And then that comes to the wonderful word, no. It's a wonderful word, I'm telling you. And what I've done with the energy vampires, see, I've come to understand that Life is a stage, and sometimes people want you to show up on their sitcom. Mm. And as I listen to the script, then I decide if I'm going to make a cameo appearance or not, and I usually don't. I says, I'm not going to make a cameo appearance on this one. So I would say, you know what, I know you know the answer, and you're going to find the answer for yourself, and I'm going to call you back in a couple of days, and we'll talk about it then.
Yeah.
And I let it be because I'm not going to make a guest appearance on their sitcom. I refuse because it's just going to drain and drain and drain. Meanwhile, it's taking you away from your purpose. It's taking you away from what you need to do and you need to accomplish. So the word no, everybody practice that wonderful word. It's a little word, but it means a big thing. I mean, and watch the reactions you're going to get. Please watch. You wish that your eyes were video cameras.
There's a lot of power. I mean, there's a lot of power in that. It's funny because, again, it's the meaning that we give to things that defines our experience.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes people, our listening skills are so pitiful.
Yeah.
You know, and I am one to say I failed tests.
Mm-hmm.
But now at least I'm aware of the answer. but I failed the test. This is an actual test that we use, just throwing out little different snippets of stories, and then you come back and you ask the question. And, you know, I mean, honestly, almost no one ever passes it because it really requires you to not listen, to not judge, not prejudge.
Right.
But when we're listening to anyone speaking, we're automatically arming ourselves with those tools to say, nah, you know what, you're not, you know, we're going to come and contradict you. We're going to come and say something different. What you're saying is no, it's not. Rather than listening, you know, rather than opening up our minds to saying, you know, let me see how, if I turn this upside down, where is the other side?
Right.
You know, if I listen to this and not prejudge it, what is the gift that I can take out from this? You know, and that's the power of, again, the meaning that we give to something. Even right now, it's funny because I often say, you know, it's like the word yes, or, you know, yes, let's go forward. Yes, let's move. Yes, mm-hmm, let's do this. And the same thing with no, you know, it's choosing to say no.
Right.
For empowerment.
When you feel like no, when you feel like I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Or I'm not about that.
And that's empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because you're choosing life on your terms, and you're not choosing to be somebody else's pawn.
Absolutely, and that's a great thing. It really is.
Well, that's awesome.
It really is.
That's very, very good. Well, let me give the callers the number once again for our show. We have 15 more minutes to go, but for those of you who are listening and would like to interact or have any questions, comments, the number to call is 646-716-8620. We will be taking calls for the next 15 minutes. And in the meantime, we can just continue now. What do you want to see from all of your endeavors?
Well, absolutely success, an abundance of success with our young ladies being empowered. Because I feel that since, you know, we're going to be ruling the world anyway at some point, that we need to be equipped.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
My philosophy. And getting over little things, because it's the little things that really hold us back, you know? It's like a bride getting ready for a wedding. She'll take care of the huge thing, the hall, the dress, and so on. But when it comes to, oh, you know what, did I get the shoes, you know, the little things, that's what it is. So we need to take care of the little things that we think are really minor, like the period, for instance, and celebrating that, teaching a young lady how to celebrate that in her life and be proud of that. And then when she's proud of what comes from her, then she will step out and show us what comes from her. And we would be honored. I know that. And so it's all about instilling that into our young ladies. And, you know, for those single dads out there, The Period Party is a great book to introduce her and make you feel comfortable. Because my best friend is a single uncle. And when his niece Sonia had a, he called me. He's in New York, and I'm over in Florida. I'm like, oh, Marcus, what am I going to do? I don't know. I can't help you over here. So, you know, and then he ended up, I said, well, go to my sister. So my sister helped him out with explaining everything to Sonia at that point. And that's when I realized, you know, there really is a need for something like this, even for the single parent, the single male parent, as well as the female.
It is. Mm-hmm. There's so many people who really have the wrong notion and the wrong, you know, the taboos, the, oh, no, how am I going to handle this? How am I going to tell her? Am I just going to sweep it under the rug? Or or is this an opportunity for me to create a story, to create a foundation, you know, to empower by informing? You know, today, in today's times, you know, our kids are coming home from school already knowing, sometimes, you know, being misinformed.
Right.
You know, or learning from their friends, or learning from the internet,
right,
which is kind of like, you know, rather than us being reactive, why don't we be proactive,
mm-hmm,
and instill the knowledge that we want them to have? You know, you told me of a great example with, it was one of your sons also, when it came down to him asking you about drugs. Can you repeat that example?
Oh yeah, it was we had adopted a little boy. And his mom had died from drugs, and so as he got older and older, he was about maybe like 4.5, 5, and he came to us, and he goes, what is drugs? What's drugs? So I took him in the kitchen, and I went into my cabinet, and I took out some flour for cocaine, and I took out some oregano and a piece of toilet paper to make a marijuana stick, and I took pills, aspirins, and a bottle of beer, and a needle, anything that I can find to actually give him a visual, because children are visual.
Yeah.
And so, and I explained to him every single thing, and now he's a grown man now. We can't even get him to drink champagne on New Year's Day. It doesn't even touch his lips. I was honest with him, and I told him the absolute truth, and I didn't hold back, because he wanted to know, and I was more than happy to let him know.
And you know what? And that is something that some people, some listeners may say, well, that's silly, or why are you bringing that, or why did you go through that trouble? And, you know, I commend you, because that today, people and parents and, you know, people who are in contact with kids oftentimes say, oh, you know, I can't say this to the kid because they don't know about it.
Yeah.
You know what? You're completely, you know, with the blinders on because mm-hmm. kids already know way before you even think that they know.
Totally.
You know, they're so aware. I mean, this happened to me with a group of girls. Mm-hmm. I sat with about 10 girls, and one day I basically said, listen, girls, I'm going to say something that most adults would probably not say. And, you know, I brought the issue up of sex, and mm-hmm. I brought it up from an angle of, you know, what do we need to do in order to make a difference, to bring this awareness, and it was the awareness of abstinence to them, you know, for the right reasons. And all of a sudden, all like four girls opened up immediately. The one girl that was closed up because she was kind of like looking at me like, who do you think you are and what do you think you're saying to me? I know it all. You don't need to tell me anything. You don't know anything.
Right.
Well, the minute I allowed that to come out, she opened up and it was revealed that one of her friends who was 13 years old had already had four abortions.
Wow.
Now, you take an adult and you say that to them and you say, mm-hmm. who are you kidding with you not informing these kids
right.
about what is right or what is real.
Exactly.
You know, that's why somebody can come and hold a cigarette and give it to a kid, and then the kid's going to be hooked later on because, you know, just because you never forewarned them as to what is the potential of something happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
totally.
That's amazing.
It is. It really is.
That to me is, you know, what you did is brings to light what I also told my own son, and actually it was just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me, he goes, because he was saying no to drugs in school, and he asked me, you know, what are drugs? And I explained it, and he goes, well, it's wine drugs. And here we are as adults, you know, mm-hmm. drinking wine, and it's like, well, yes, it is, you know, it is,
uh-huh.
and it's not really good for you. And, you know, it kind of puts you at a level where you have to say, well, where's my integrity, and how do I explain this without lying?
Exactly.
You know, how do I make it accessible? How do I equip myself with the right information so that I don't kid my child
mm-hmm.
into believing something different, and then down the road he figures out that you've lied,
exactly.
and then, you know, you have to cover up too mm-hmm. with, you know, with more. But, you know, I basically told him at the end, I said, look, you know, and I said smoking, and I said, if you ever smoke, and I had to say, well, he asked me, did you ever smoke? And I said, yes, I did at one point, and
mm-hmm.
it was not good, you
right.
know, and I don't think it's good, and I don't think it's great.
Right.
So it puts you in at a position where you're kind of like, oh, you know,
yeah.
you start looking at your life and saying, well, what did I do, and why did I do it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. It's true.
Now, how many children do you have?
How many what?
Children do you have?
Four.
Wow. Okay, and you're here in Florida.
Yes.
And how do they feel about what you're doing, about speaking on behalf of the coming of age and the children and of women?
They're very supportive. My husband's extremely supportive. I really say I have a great life partner, so he's always like, go for it, you know? But the kids are great, and I mean, it's like... when you talk to, like, Michael Jordan and ask his sons about him, they're like, he's just that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just mom.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's
just a legacy you leave behind for them later.
It is, and it's setting them up forward, going forward. I've talked on this show a lot about, you know, empowering our kids and, you know, the children of today, the promise of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't equip ourselves with the right tools and the right know-how, how are we going to help them move forward?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, this is something that is so crucial. I mean, when you and I spoke, why I became, you know, very enthused about us bringing this together,
right.
is because I look at the primarily the at-risk youth.
Yes.
Where who is, you know, who is really coming to help them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, some people are creating programs or talking about bringing in different things, but who's with them one-on-one,
right.
you know, teaching them, like you mentioned, teaching them how to, for example, young ladies, how to be a lady, how to
right.
sit,
you how know, to how sit to speak. Out there, how to eat a meal, how to cut your meat, how to walk upstairs. You know, all these little things are just so important. They really make a difference.
Oh, they make a difference in how you're perceived, and it makes a difference
mm-hmm.
in how people treat you.
Exactly.
And that happened just last Friday when we had we had our mayor come into the West Palm Beach mayor, Mayor Frankel, who came into the youth and mentor coaching training that I had at the convention center.
Okay.
And we had some of the kids, you know, she's there extending her hand, and they weren't really unsure of what to do. And even that, you know, even that, like when you go to a job interview, if you don't realize that, you know, the minute someone shows up, stand up, extend your hand, hold it tight, shake it. You know, simple, very elemental things.
Yeah.
But if you're not taught.
Or we're not passing the tradition on, you know, totally flipping.
Mm.
And if they're not getting that at home, like I said, it's everybody's responsibility. It's everybody's responsibility.
Now, what do you think we could do?
As far as?
What do you think we can do to improve the conditioning of these kids?
Educate them. Talk to them. Not at them, but talk to them. They'll listen to you, just like that young man listened to me with that fight. They'll listen to you. You know, if you come off, you know, in a gentle way, they will really, you know, take that into heart. So it's our responsibility. And speaking to them, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Because, like I say, I refuse to be afraid of our youth. I really do. I refuse to be afraid of our young men and our young women.
Now, do you think people, adults, tend to be afraid?
Absolutely. Especially, like, I don't really watch the news. I stay away from the media.
Yeah.
And if you watch it, you're going to, you know, get brainwashed about certain kinds of, you know, ethnicity of people.
Yeah.
Okay, in the way they dress and the way they look and how their hair is, you know, and you may have a very intelligent young man that's this professor with locks on and wears his pants down below his butt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what? You're touching, I think, upon the most important part right here of what we are bringing together, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know what? It becomes even the whole element of race. That becomes, you know, the white and the black, the are you rich, are you poor, you know, and when we talk about our kids, it's like, you know what, our kids are our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when it comes down to it, it's building rapport. It's how can we be equipped to build rapport so that we can effectively engage with them. And then, you know, and what I also said to you is, you know, you, when I met you, I said, wow, you know, this is such a beautiful, beautiful woman, you know, who just exudes so much beautiful sensibility, sensitivity, sensuality, but in such a beautiful, holistic, and honestly, like a beautiful, fulfilling, I always say that woman's like a rose, you know, with in bloom. But these are the women who have tapped into who they truly are,
mm-hmm.
you know, with every petal being that part that makes up the entire woman. And most of the times, most women are like a wilted bud.
Yeah,
you know, most of the times they haven't even dare attempted because all of a sudden they don't see all their other facets, nurturer, you know, teacher, inspirer, creator,
mm-hmm.
You know, artist, you know, everything, mate,
right,
mentor, you know, just so many different angles of who we are as a character. Well, you know, when I saw you, I saw this beautiful, holistic red rose. And this is why I think that you're going to be so effective when you touch our youth, when you reach to these girls, because they're able to see you as a role model, and they're able to say, hey, if she's telling me not to dress this way and look at the way that she's dressed,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can be like her, which is different than me because they don't relate to me in the same way.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm Latin American.
Right.
You're African American.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that people that I talked to when I went into the juvenile justice department,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of the white people, quote-unquote, are the ones that don't want to go to these places because they're afraid.
Unbelievable.
You know, the minute they see something that's out of their way, they're going to be like, and I'm not talking about everyone.
Right,
I mean,
right,
there are
I
some
know.
People that do go.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, people are, you know, they're afraid because they're afraid to step out of their comfort zone. They're afraid to step into a place that they're unaware of or they're not really accustomed to. Like you said, the dreadlocks or the music or,
right.
you know, the way that they're walking.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you and I can demystify that and really say, like, no, you know, all it takes is a heart.
That's it.
A heart and a mission. And then a voice to say it.
Exactly. Just show up.
That's really, really great. Well, you know what? We're coming up to a close. We have 1 minute.
Okay.
But this is going to be available. It is an archive, so we were able to download this as well. And is there a contact information, any contact information that people can have with you?
Sure. They can reach me at 561.
Okay.
714-6782.
So that's 561-714-6782.
Correct.
And are you going to be having a website? I know you're preparing one, but when do you think you're going to have your website?
Soon.
Okay. Soon. Well, I'll hold you up to that one.
Okay.
And now you're going to be also, we spoke about the book being made available.
Yes.
So we'll be working on that as well.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so, yeah, I kind of foresee, you know, sometime before Christmas being able to have it, if not sooner.
Okay, it worked for me. And
okay.
It's going to work for everybody else out there, too.
And then you and I also spoke of having a newsletter.
Uh-huh.
So if people like to sign up for the newsletter, send us an email or call us, you can go on the Power to Be You or the website, powertobeyou.com. There you have my pertinent information with the email. You can send both Goddess and myself an email there, and we'll be putting you on our newsletter that we'll be having. So just, it's been a pleasure, Goddess, and I look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
And for the callers, this is Power to Be You at blogtalkradio.com/Power to Be You. See you next Tuesday. Thanks, Goddess.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.